This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we're on page 117, which is in the 6th juz, Surah Al-Ma'idah. In the previous episode, we mentioned those verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the importance of judging and ruling according to the sharia of Allah azza wa jalla and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how Allah azza wa jalla gave to every nation their scripture, their laws, their divine guidance, that if they followed it, it would lead them to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how often those people distorted and changed and manipulated the laws and the commands of Allah azza wa jalla. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he sent to him the Quran which confirms everything that came before it in the scriptures in terms of tawheed and belief and worship of Allah azza wa jalla alone, in terms of worship, in terms of character, in terms of the overarching principles of all of the sharia's of Allah azza wa jalla. But an added virtue is given to the Quran, an added status, and that is that it is muhaiminan alayh, that it has authority over everything that came before it. It abrogates everything that came before it. And so whoever comes now, after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, cannot accept anything except the Quran. Nor can they accept anything except the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning in terms of belief. Otherwise, we believe in all of the scriptures of Allah, all of the prophets and messengers of Allah alayhim salatu wassalam. And Allah azza wa jalla told us in those verses also that those who turn away from the commands of Allah, the sharia of Allah azza wa jalla, only choose to follow their whims and their desires, and they prefer the rulings of ignorance and darkness and oppression over the rulings of Allah azza wa jalla, which all of them are justice and light and mercy and goodness for the people. Today we continue with verse number 51 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى أَوْلِيَاءَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. O you who believed, do not take the Jews and Christians as allies. They are allies only to each other. Anyone who takes them as an ally becomes one of them. Allah does not guide such wrongdoers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, he gives the command that the believers should be careful as to who they take allies. Allies in the sense that if you take those people and you then forego aspects of your religion, your belief, you water down aspects of your sharia in order to appease them, that is the type of alliance that Allah azza wa jalla is speaking about primarily. And that is because we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made alliances with non-Muslim tribes at the time of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. From the terms of that treaty was that the Quraysh could add into their side of the treaty any of the tribes that wanted to join them. And likewise, the Muslims could do so for any of the tribes that wanted to join them. And so there were tribes from amongst the Arabs that chose the side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though the vast majority of those people were not Muslims. They become Muslims later, but they're not Muslims at that time. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted that. And the reason why that treaty was broken in the events that then led up towards the conquest of the city of Mecca is because it was one of those tribes that were allied to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the people of Medina that the Quraysh and their allies attacked. They didn't attack the Muslims. They didn't attack the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the people of Medina, but they attacked one of his allies. And that was the rule. If you attack an ally, it's like you're attacking that whole side, that whole party of agreement. And so therefore it was the allies of the Muslims that were attacked that then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought justice on their behalf, and then he went and conquered the city of Mecca, as we know in that famous story or that famous incident that takes place in the seerah. So here Allah azza wa jalla is saying, be careful who you take as your allies, and don't take the Jews and Christians as allies besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that you favor them over Allah azza wa jalla. that you give precedence to them and their laws or their sayings or their desires over that which Allah Azza wa Jalla wants from you. بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ, because they are allies to one another. Meaning because all of them are upon types of disbelief and types of not worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. So therefore their alliance is like that. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, and anyone who takes them as an ally becomes one of them. And that is why it is important to remember an issue that the scholars often mention concerning friendship. That the closer you are to someone, then the more likely you are in terms of your assimilation with them. The more likely you are to be in terms of resemblance to them, trying to imitate them. And that is why in our religion we're told to be careful who you take as your close friend, as is mentioned in the hadith, al-mar'u ala dini khalilih. Every one of you is on the region of his closest friend. What does that mean? It means that you are likely to imitate them. If they're a person of goodness, of ibadah, of worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, they will remind you and they will influence you just as you will influence them. But if they're people of heedlessness, people of sin, people who when it's time to pray, don't pray, people who are involved in drugs or alcohol or whatever it may be of haram, then that influence will come upon you. It may not be on the first day, may not be in the first week, may not be in the first month, but that influence over time will come upon you. To the extent that even if you don't go to the level of what they go to, at the very least it will desensitize you from the evil that they do. It will become normal to you that people can drink, that people can take drugs, that people will smoke, that people will do evil. You'll sit there and you'll accept it as being normal even if you don't take part. And that is a type of alliance also, that you can't speak out against haram, that you can't speak out against oppression, that you see that person actively going and doing haram and harming others and oppressing them, but because they're your friend now, you won't say anything. Isn't that a type of an alliance? Isn't that a type of being on the religion of someone? Because you're giving them the authority to go and do it, and you're probably in a position where if you spoke out or you said something, they'd listen because of your relationship and your friendship, but you're not going to say anything because you fear that friendship will then be severed. And so Allah Azza wa Jal tells us to be careful, and that is why we're told in our religion that we can't wear clothes or imitate the disbelievers in that which is specific to them in their religious issues. So for example, you can't dress in the way that is a symbol of someone else's religion. You can't behave in a way that is specific to that religion only, as opposed to everything else which is normal, they wear, we wear, everyone wears, that's fine. But we're speaking about those things by which they are recognized by their religion. Those things the Sharia prohibits. And that is because it is a type of assimilation with them that is not from the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ, and Allah does not guide such wrongdoers. In verse 52, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, فَتَرَى الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ يُسَارِعُونَ فِيهِمْ يَقُولُونَ نَخْشَى أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَةٌ فَعَسَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ بِالْفَتْحِ أَوْ أَمْرٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِهِ فَيُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا أَسَرُّوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ نَادِمِينَ. Yet you, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, will see the perverse at heart rushing to them for protection, saying, we are afraid fortune may turn against us, but Allah may well bring about a triumph or some other event of his own making. Then they will rue the secrets they harbored in their hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that from amongst these people are those who have a type of illness in their heart, and that is the type of illness of hypocrisy, that they will be from amongst the disbelievers, meaning the hypocrites, those who are perverse at heart because of this illness and this disease that they have at the heart. And that is something which Allah Azza wa Jal therefore gives us an indication of that we should be aware of as Muslims. And that is that the diseases of the heart are more dangerous than the diseases of the body. Allah Azza wa Jal gives to people disease in terms of their health, in terms of their body. Someone has a disability, someone is given a disease, a terminal illness. Those are no doubt challenges and trials that Allah Azza wa Jal places upon people and in their lives. And that is something which a person needs to have patience and be reminded of Allah Azza wa Jal and come close to Allah Azza wa Jal through that difficulty. But that is less severe and less dangerous than the diseases of the heart. Because the disease of the body doesn't corrupt you. If you're a person of iman and a person of ibad and a person of yaqeen and a person of dua and sabr and patience, doesn't corrupt you. But the diseases of the heart will corrupt you, even if your body is healthy. The disease of the heart, like animosity, like jealousy, like arrogance, like, for example, nifaq, hypocrisy that Allah Azza wa Jal is speaking about here, those corrupt you. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will come rushing to you because of that weakness of iman, and they will say, نَخْشَ أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرًا. They think that they will be harmed in some way, that the people, other non-Muslims or whatever, may come and they will harm them. So what are they doing? They are doing something in which they consider, they are coming towards the Muslims, saying that we are afraid fortune may turn against us. And this is also one of their plots and plans against Islam and Muslims, in the way that they are trying to undermine them. So they're saying that we think that we will be undermined, that the fortune will turn against us, meaning the Muslims, but they're not really Muslims, the believers, but they're not really believers, just as we gave examples before. And we will see examples again, for example, in Surah Al-Ahzab, of how the hypocrites at every single turn and every single chance that they had would try to undermine the Muslims. And they would say, we're trying to advise you, you don't go and fight, don't go and fight, it's too late, surrender, it's better for you, don't go, there's no power, you don't have any authority, you don't have the numbers to defeat them. And that's what they do at every turn and at every opportunity. Allah Azza wa Jal says, however, فَعَسَ اللَّهُ أَن يَأْتِيَ بِالْفَتْحِ أَوْ أَمْرٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِهِ. But perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal will bring to you a triumph and a victory, or some other event of as He pleases subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps those people will think that they are going to be defeated, because they look at the numbers, they look at the opposite army, they look at whatever they look at in terms of wealth and power. But Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who gives victory, and Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who gives triumph. So it may be that Allah will give power to the Muslims, Allah will give them victory. And so therefore there, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَيُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا أَصَرُّوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ نَادِمِينَ. Therefore what they had in their hearts of secrets, they will rue. Because in their hearts they wanted the Muslims to be defeated, and they were trying to undermine them. But Allah Azza wa Jalla then gives victory to the Muslims, and now they're stuck. And that's exactly what happened if you look at, for example, the battles of Badr and Uhud and Ahzab. In Ahzab, they were saying to the Muslims, لَا مُقَامَ لَكُمْ فَرْجِعُوا. There's no hope for you, go back home and just, you know, hope for the best. Go home and just hope that if you surrender, people will be gentle towards you, meaning these armies that are going to come and invade and conquer us. That's what they were saying to the Muslims. They were saying that you have no hope today. And then Allah Azza wa Jal gave the Muslims victory. So now they're saying, yes, but we only feared for our families. We were trying to protect our households. It was just because we feared for our children. And so they make an excuse, but what is in their actual hearts, Allah Azza wa Jal says, they rue within themselves the fact that they were not able to see defeat for the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 53,
وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَهَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ أَقْسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ أَيْمَانِهِمْ إِنَّهُمْ لَمَعَكُمْ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فَأَصْبَحُوا خَاسِرِينَ.
And the believers will say, are these the men who swore by Allah using their strongest oaths that they were with you? All they did was in vain. They have lost everything. Meaning of these people, those who believe will say, and they will be amazed at these people who have these diseases in their heart, and they will say concerning them, are these the men who swore by Allah using their strongest oaths that they were with you? Meaning that they took oaths and they made their strongest oath. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, جَهْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ. Not just a small oath, they made their strongest possible oaths that they could make, that they will be with you, that they will support you, that they will help you, that they will defend you, that they will take your side against your enemies. And this is all that they did in times of ease. Then what happens as soon as they see the enemy, as soon as the army comes, as soon as they fear now for themselves, their lives, their wealth, they start to turn around and they make excuses. Like in the Battle of Uhud, the Prophet ﷺ comes to defend the city of Medina. The army of Quraysh is approaching. If they lose on that battle or in that battle, the Quraysh enter into Medina and they destroy everything, kill everyone. And so the Prophet ﷺ comes out with the companions with the Muslim army. As he's coming towards Uhud, a third of them return back with the hypocrites. A third of the army under the leadership of Abdullah ibn Ubay turns back and goes. Can you imagine a third of the army just leaving? You're a soldier in this army now. You're already outnumbered. You're already in a state of difficulty. You know that this army is coming to attack you. You know that they're seeking revenge for the Battle of Badr that took place the year before. You know that their blood is boiling, that they're extremely angry. They're looking for revenge. And that's what happened in the Battle of Uhud. Didn't they mutilate the bodies of the martyrs? Not only did they kill the Muslims, but they mutilated them because of the enmity and hatred that they had in their hearts towards the Muslims. So this is the situation you're in. And then you see a third of the army leaving. And those companions, the two-thirds, still stood firm with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why the companions have that amazing status in this religion. Why Allah honors them so much that even in those most difficult of times, imagine you seeing a third of the army. A third is not a small number. A third of the army is not like just 10, 15, 20 people leaving you. A third is a sizable number that you can now see physically, visibly, that your army is being depleted. That your numbers have just got much smaller if a third of the army leaves. Imagine being in that situation and the companions remained firm, and that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla praised them. That is why they were the men to support the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because even in those most difficult of circumstances, when many of us don't know how we would respond, we hope that we would be like those companions, but me and you don't know because we've never been tried and tested in that way, and may Allah Azza wa Jalla save us from that. We haven't been tried and tested to that extent in our faith that we would stay firm, or would we go back and be from amongst those people who retreated? We don't know. And no one knows until they're tested in that way what Allah Azza wa Jal holds for them. And so those people, Allah Azza wa Jal gave them firmness and He gave them steadfastness upon that day. But a third of the army turned back. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal is referring to. These are the people that give you the strongest of oaths that they will defend you and help you. But as soon as they see the signs that there is danger, that there may be defeat, that there may be harm towards them, what do? They run. حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فَأَصْبَحُوا خَاسِرِينَ. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal says the reward of their actions will be in vain. All that they did will be in vain. And they will be from amongst those who have lost everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 54,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه أذلة على المؤمنين أعزة على الكافرين يجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا يخافون لومة لائم ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله واسع عليم.
Or you who believe, if any of you go back on your faith, Allah will soon replace you with people He loves and who love Him. People who are humble towards the believers, hard on the disbelievers, and who strive in Allah's way without fearing anyone's reproach. Such is Allah's favor. He grants it to whomsoever He wills. Allah has endless bounty and knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla then mentions after this previous verse in which He says that these are the way of the people of the hypocrites. Their way is that they give you oaths, that they will help you, they will support the religion of Allah, defend His religion. Then when the time of difficulty comes, and harm and danger, they're the first ones to run away. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that He has no need of anyone of His creation. No need of anyone. Allah is Al-Ghani. He is free and rich of all needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls and owns everything in the universe. And Allah Azza wa Jalla does not need us. We are in need of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why elsewhere in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. O people, you are the ones who are poor before Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah is Al-Ghani Al-Hamid. Allah doesn't need anyone. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if these people and others turn away from their religion, they're apostates, they turn away, and they go away from the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah has no need of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, if you go back after your faith, meaning you apostate and leave your religion, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ, then Allah will replace you. Allah has no need of you. Allah does not need your ibadah, doesn't need your iman, doesn't need your tawheed, doesn't need your sadaqah or charity, doesn't need your good character. You and me are the ones who benefit from all of this worship and iman. Allah doesn't benefit in the slightest. And so if no one was to believe upon the face of the earth ever, it wouldn't harm Allah Azza wa Jalla in anything. And if every single one of creation from the time of Adam, of humankind from the time of Adam, until the very last person to live was to believe and have iman and was to be the most perfect of believers, it wouldn't benefit Allah in anything either. Allah has no need, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that if this is how you would be, then Allah will remove you. And He will replace you with a group of people, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ, who love Him and He loves them. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla loves that people turn to Him in ibadah, loves that people turn, He doesn't need it, but Allah Azza wa Jalla loves this. It is from the things that He loves, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we recognize Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we acknowledge His greatness over us, that His right to be worshipped alone. And so we then dedicate our lives to His submission and to His worship and to His servitude, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla will bring a group of people, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ, they love Him and He loves them. And these are the attributes of the believers that Allah loves. Number one, that they love Allah Azza wa Jal. People who are, their whole life is about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They're gentle and humble towards the believers, as the Muslim should be. They should be humble towards the believers, humble towards those who believe in their religion. Good-charactered, good-natured, kind, generous, merciful, people of humility and humbleness, people wanting to help and do good towards others. That is the attribute of the believers. أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. And they are harsh towards the disbelievers. Not if they haven't done anything wrong. Doesn't mean that you're rude to them. Doesn't mean that you go and show bad character to them. Doesn't mean that you harm them or oppress them. We're speaking now about those people who are trying to harm the religion. The kafirin who come and they do harm. Because elsewhere Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in the Quran, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُكُمْ فِي الدِّينَ. Allah doesn't prevent you from those who are trying to kill you or exile you or harm you in your religion, that you're good towards them and that you're fair and just towards them. So we can't just take one verse and ignore the others in the Quran. But here Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking about those people who are like in the time of the companions. Allah Azza wa Jalla describes the companions as being people who are أَشِدَّاءَ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. They're severe against the disbelievers, merciful towards one another. This was the companions. Why? Because the Quraysh are trying to kill them. They're harming them. They're oppressing them in their religion. And so you don't be someone who in your religion isn't willing to stand up for your belief and what it is that you believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla. But rather you are those people who stand up for what they believe in. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla then says from the fourth characteristics of the believers, يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They strive in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Strive in terms of their religion. Stand up for what they believe in. There are people who when it's time to pray, they will pray. And they will do it in a sensible, wise way, but they will pray and they will fulfill the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the Muslim woman will dress the way that she needs to dress and the Muslim man will have his beard and everyone will do what they need to do in order to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. But that requires striving. It requires a level of jihad and effort because it's not easy to do in a society where people may look at you in a certain way, speak about you in a certain way, make remarks about you in a certain way. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, the fifth characteristic, وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. And this is a beautiful characteristic that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives of the believers, and that is that they don't fear the reproach of anyone. They don't fear the reproach of anyone. They don't care that people are going to criticize or speak or make fun or mock. Why? Because they are there to please Allah Azza wa Jal. And if the pleasure of Allah means the displeasure of everyone else, then so be it. And if by pleasing everyone else, it means the displeasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, then the believer doesn't want to go down that path. And so yes, at times, we have to do certain things that people will look at us in a strange way. Or they will make remarks in a strange way. Not all people. Most people are sensible and wise and mature enough to understand that the people want to worship their Lord and they want, that's okay. But there are people who are going to say things, like in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, weren't there amongst the people of Quraysh those who were sensible, didn't want to harm the Muslims, were okay with them, didn't have an issue in that way. They weren't oppressors, but they were part of their society, the Quraysh society. But then amongst the Quraysh, there were those people who harmed the Muslims, ridiculed them, mocked them, oppressed them. And so the believers are people who don't fear that reproach. Because if you do, then you're always going to be shy. You're not going to have the self-confidence to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. You're going to be from amongst those people who hides and is shy and embarrassed about your religion, as opposed to being someone who's proud. If there's one thing that you have a right to be proud of, it is that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to you faith, gave to you iman, gave to you tawheed. Nothing is more beloved to you than that from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Aren't people proud of less? People are proud of their cars and their houses and their wealth and their families. People are proud of lots of different things that they have and they own and that they possess. The believer has nothing that he's more or she is more proud of than the faith that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to them. That iman in your heart is more precious than anything else. And so therefore, don't let people reproach you for it. That is the favor that Allah grants to whomsoever He wills, He says, and Allah has endless bounty and knowledge. That is the favor of Allah, that you understand the value of tawheed and iman, and therefore you're someone who will do what Allah Azza wa Jalla commands them to do. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse, who are the true ones, who are the allies of Allah Azza wa Jalla. In verse 55, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. Your true allies are Allah, His Messenger, and the believers, those who keep up the prayer, pay the zakah, and bow down in worship. Those are the allies of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not those who wish to sell their religion or wish to wish to be allies with those people who don't like and love this religion, the allies of Allah, the people of Iman, and the people of Salah, and the people of Zakah, and the people of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who submit to Him, Jalla fi ula. This is how the believer should be. That previous lesson, that previous verse, concerning the characteristics of the believers, this verse in terms of their ibadah, in terms of their worship and their devotion to Allah Azza wa Jal, this is the way that the believers should be. In verse 56, Allah Azza wa Jal then says that the reward of those people is what? Those people who are the true allies of Allah. وَمَن يَتَوَلَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. And those who turn for protection to Allah, His Messenger, and the believers, then Allah's party is sure to triumph. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla will give them victory, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help them over their enemies, and Allah will give to them the best of this life and the next. In verse number 57, Allah Azza wa Jalla then goes back to the first issue. Don't take those people as allies. These are the true allies of Allah. This is how you should be. And Allah Azza wa Jalla warns us against going towards other than them and seeking alliance from other than Allah Azza wa Jalla and the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 57, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَكُمْ هُزُوًا وَلَعِبًا مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَالْكُفَّارَ أَوْلِيَاءَ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Or you who believed, not take as allies those who ridicule your religion and make fun of it, whether people who were given the scripture before you or disbelievers, and be mindful of Allah if you are true believers. Look how Allah Azza wa Jalla described the believers who are the true allies of Allah, people who love Allah, people who are humble towards the believers, people who know and devote themselves to the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, strive and don't fear the reproach of others. Allah says those are the true allies of Allah, the true allies of the believers. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla says don't take those people who what they do instead is they mock your religion and they take it as amusement and jest and make fun of it. Those are not the people who are your allies. Why? Because they go against all of the characteristics that Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed or mentioned concerning the believers in terms of devotion and submission and striving for the path of Allah and doing that which Allah Azza wa Jalla pleases. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says those people who make fun of your religion, ridicule it, mock it, those aren't your true allies. And fear Allah if you are from amongst the believers. In the final verse that we'll take today, verse 58, Allah Azza wa Jalla then continues to describe them and says, وَإِذَا نَادَيْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ اتَّخَذُوهَا هُزُوًا وَنَعِبًا ذَٰلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. And when you make the call to prayer, they ridicule it and make fun of it. This is because they are people who do not see reason. They make fun of your salah. The adhan goes and you go to pray, they're making fun. Look at these people, look at the way they're falling on the ground, they're prostrating, they're putting their head on the floor, they're bowing and prostrating to. They make fun of everything that you do in terms of your worship and your religion. Those are not people who are mindful of Allah Azza wa Jalla, people who want Allah's reward. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us against them. And look at how these two last verses that we just mentioned go against the two verses or three verses before that, in which Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions the characteristics of the believers and the attributes that they have. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us from amongst those sincere and true believers. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.